Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show, where we invite e-commerce entrepreneurs, marketers, and agencies to talk about e-commerce, the best strategies and tactics, and what to implement in your own e-com store. Before we jump into this episode, I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. Hey everyone, here is Daniel Budai with a brand new episode of the Ecom Show. And today I'm here with Alexandra Fraser, and she's the CEO of Equi Nutritive. And this is a European company, and they sell in the UK, Ireland, Australia, and they are in the equestrian industry. And unlike many other companies, they focus on e-commerce. So most similar companies, they are in retail and e-commerce. So that's one of the things, how it's a bit different business than others in the same niche. But there are other things as well. So let's talk about those today. Hey, Alexandra, how are you today?
Hi, Daniel. Very well, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Great.
So if anyone goes to your website, you have a lot of high quality reviews. Mm-hmm. And very happy customers and their horses and, you know, pets. So what's the key of that? Like, is it something that you really focus on, getting those reviews and really collecting them? How the process looks like?
Yeah, great question. So we are in the, we actually have two brands. There's an equestrian brand and a dog brand. But we sort of started out with the equestrian brand and then sort of segued into dogs later. So in both brands, but in particularly in the equestrian brand, it is very niche and it's a very tight-knit community, and a lot of things, like new products and new brands that come along, they spread and grow through word of mouth and reviews. So reviews are, obviously we know they're important in general, like in e-com and in business, and now especially in this day and age. But in the equine industry, I think it's probably even more important. People are quite skeptical, particularly about new products, and they just won't buy without seeing reviews. So we've known that and have a very heavy focus on gathering reviews. Obviously you have to be starting with a good product that works and does what it says it will. If you don't have that, then you have no hope of getting good reviews. But we use reviews.io as our sort of reviews software platform, and we utilize Klaviyo then to get customers to leave us reviews, and we sort of prompt them regularly enough. You know, if they don't leave us a review the first time we ask, then we'll come back again and ask. And we're sort of lucky in the sense that we are selling an animal product, so products for animals, I should say. And people really love to share photos of their animals and stories of their animals. So a lot of our reviews are pretty, like, they tell a real story, and we tend to get a lot of, you know, photo reviews and things, which is really nice as well for other people coming to read the reviews later.
Yeah, actually, I'm just reading a few of them now. And as you said, they are stories of customers, because many e-commerce stores, they just have very short reviews that great product, or I'm happy with the product, or things like that. But I have this, like, this has been a game changer for Carly. She still has her sassiness, but calms very quickly rather than exploding uncontrollably. She's a different horse, amazing product. So, you know, even the name of the horse is there, and what happened with the horse. I really like these. It's very authentic. Let's take a step back, and please tell us more about, when did you start this business? Is this your first business, and why in this niche?
Yeah, sure. So it is my first business, and we launched about, just, it'll be 10 years in October, And my background is not in business at all. I'm not a business person, but I am an equine scientist. So I got my degree in equine science with a major focus on nutrition and an interest in that space. And it was really, I guess I started off not really having an end game in plan, like in mind, and not really knowing what I was doing or where I was planning to take it. But there were products I wanted and the people that I knew wanted for their horses. So I set about developing them, and that was kind of how it all started. And one thing led to another, and here we are 10 years later.
Yeah. And have you never wanted to get into retail? Why did you pick e-commerce?
I picked e-commerce, I think, because at the beginning, I guess I sort of had a belief back then that things were going in the direction of e-com, and like a firm believer that the store is dying, if you will. And I don't think I actually realized that we were a complete anomaly in our industry when I set it up to be selling only online, but it just seemed like it, to be honest, it had the fewest barriers for me, just as like one person running a business by myself doing everything. The prospect of trying to go out and, you know, form relationships with the distributors and try and make deals with, you know, retailers and through distribution models and stuff, just, it was just a bit overwhelming, and it just felt easier to me. And we've certainly considered and sort of toyed with the idea of retail over the years, and we have had retailers reach out to us and want to stock our products and things. And we've sort of very firmly, I've certainly very firmly felt like I didn't want to do that. And I think it's a lot to do for me with all that customer connection. You know, we have a direct line to our customers. We know who they are. We can communicate with them and make sure that we're holding on to them if something goes wrong, helping them if something isn't working properly, communicating with them about what their needs are and what other products they would like to see, and get them back if they leave us. You know, we have the means to do that. Whereas if you're selling through a retailer, they're the retailer's customer, right? They're not yours. And I just never wanted to give that up because I love having that connection with the customer and being able to communicate with them. And you know, that's powerful. So,
yeah, e-commerce enables merchants to communicate with their customers directly. And when you have a retailer or even Amazon, then that connection is lost. So, and also, as you said, I can imagine when you started out, it was easier to, you know, start running some ads or just start selling online with your own store than going and, you know, going out and chasing relationships, especially if you've never done it, you don't have the network yet. So it's just a different beast, I guess.
Yeah. The other thing that is really worth mentioning, I think, as well, is, you know, 2014, it was sort of like the good old days of Facebook marketing, and it was really, really easy. And also none of our competitors were in that space at all. So I could basically just go in there and turn an ad on and you watch the sales roll in, you know, and it was literally just like turning on a tap. There was just no competition, and it was easier. And it's obviously gotten much, much harder in the last decade. It takes a lot more experience now to be effective, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So even in this very niche category, you could use Facebook ads to stand out and start your store.
Yeah, definitely. That was how we got going, for sure.
I know that nowadays you are more diverse. What channels do you use? So what are those channels that you rely on when it comes to advertising?
Sure. Yeah, so, well, we're not that much more diverse. I mean, we do a little bit in, like, industry print, a small amount. And then we still advertise pretty heavily on Meta across Instagram and Facebook. We're starting to utilize TikTok. It's a whole other universe. It's definitely tricky and different, but we're sort of starting to like get a handle on that a little bit. And we utilize our email list. So we're always focusing on building up the list with sort of various means. And then we market fairly heavily to our lists and different segments of the list on a pretty regular basis. So
Yeah. And I know you also have a subscription plan for your products. So you charge them automatically every month. How often do you charge them?
So it's up to the customer. They can sort of set their own frequency for that, just because everybody, we have different sort of sizes of each of our products. And then some people have ponies and some people have horses, and some people might need for one horse or two horses. So everybody's needs are really, really varied. And it was just never going to work for us to sort of pigeonhole people too much. So when somebody's looking to set up a subscription, the system allows them to select the frequency that they want for their item to be delivered. And then it just triggers and automatically processes it. And the warehouse gets that notification and sends it out.
Hey Budai Nation, welcome to the Ecom Show. I ask you to subscribe to this podcast, and if you like it, make sure you share it with at least one friend. As you probably know, we don't run ads. Our growth is purely organic, so it would mean the world to me if you could support us. And now let's jump into the episode. That's amazing. And what differences could you see when you install this subscription plan for the first time? Like, you could see a big jump in your numbers, or what was the overall experience?
Yeah, it's interesting. We've had a subscription system available for quite a long time. We probably didn't really try that hard to push it for the first maybe 18 months. We were just, because we were focused on other things at the time. We've sort of run through a few platforms for running our subscription system. Yeah. So I think we started off with Bold originally back in the day, and it worked really well for us for a while, and then wasn't really meeting our needs anymore. And then we went to Recharge. And then we, about a year ago, switched to Skio, which has been great. We've really sort of enjoyed the features of it. And now we sort of have it as a sort of an automated part of our email flows, that we encourage people who've placed more than one order to set up a subscription, and we sort of discuss the benefits of that with them. For us, it's recurring revenue, right? It's sort of peace of mind revenue, if you will. So we do want as much of that as we can, as we can get. And so, yeah, we do really encourage people who have purchased with us more than once to try and get on subscription, because they get a discount. So,
yeah, I think subscription definitely makes my business more stable. And also, just if anyone wants to exit with their e-commerce companies, the valuation will be higher if you have a subscription plan with many subscribers, because that's a monthly recurring revenue, or not, or quarterly, whatever the frequency is, but it makes your business more valuable. And it's not that difficult to set this up. So you just need to find the right tool.
It's actually amazing, you know, like, and that's the case for many, many Shopify apps, that, you know, they just allow you to do anything. And it's so simple. It's plug and play, basically. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah. And I know you really focus on education. I can see it on the website, and you have a blog as well. Let's talk more about the products. So what products do you sell exactly? How does it help horses?
Sure. So we have a whole range of products, and they're all 100% natural. So there are no fillers or additives or any kind of crap in them, basically. and they are nutritional supplements. So they're generally there to help solve a problem, if you will. And they range from, you know, we have a calming product, which would be our biggest seller, and that's sort of like the most popular kind of supplement for horses across the board. And then we have the likes of, you know, a product that helps with joint care, and products that help with respiratory issues, and products that help with like the gut is a big one as well. So there's sort of a whole range there. And we do try and keep the product range like as streamlined and simple as possible, because it can be overwhelming for people. But yeah, we sort of aim to target the things that people find most challenging and problematic with their horse's health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. And now you sell in the UK, in Ireland, and also in Australia, right?
Our dog brand is in Australia now, yes, but not our equine brand. Yes, just logistical reasons, it's a little bit more complicated there. So yeah, our dog brand is in Australia, as well as UK and Ireland, and our equine brand is UK and Ireland predominantly, but we do a little bit, I mean, we sell into Europe as well. So
yeah. Are you planning to go to North America or not at the moment?
Yeah, we actually, our equine brand back in, I think it was 2017, we actually launched into the US with a couple of our products. And we were manufacturing everything in the UK and shipping it to the US. And we basically couldn't really keep up with the demand. We didn't really have the resources to be able to sort of service the market, and found we had a lot of problems with customs and shipping of those kinds of products. So sometimes you know, everything would sit in customs for 2 weeks, and sometimes it would sit in customs for 6 weeks, so it was really hard to plan. So we pulled back out of the US market for the time being, and it's definitely something we've got our eye on, but it'll be a bigger operation than it was the first time. I think we've learned a lot from that that experience. So
sales wasn't the problem, right?
No.
The operations and the fulfillment, shipping.
Yeah.
I think that's a great sign for the future.
Yeah, I think so too. You know, we definitely know there's a lot of opportunity there in the US market. It's just, it's logistically making it work.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, this is your first business, though now you have a ton of experience. You've been doing this for 10 years, and I'm just curious, in the past 10 years, who was your biggest mentor, or how really did you learn about entrepreneurship? Like, what resources have you used?
Gosh. I've used a lot over the years. I did a lot of, I made the most of local council and like government programs. So our business is based in Northern Ireland, and very, very fortunate that there's a very strong entrepreneurial community there, and they're really trying to build the entrepreneur hub there. And that was really getting going when I started the business. And so I was able to connect up with an organization that sort of supports entrepreneurs in Belfast, and they have a program, an invention competition actually, that I entered with one of the products back in 2015. And it was sort of one thing led to another, you know. From that, I ended up being assigned an entrepreneur in residence there. So I had that sort of actual one-to-one mentor to care for, and that led me into an accelerator program that, you know, links you up with people more and more. And I did a lot of reading, a lot of learning on the fly, if you will, books, but also blog articles. And like, I mean, I really had no idea how to do anything related to business. And I mean, you know, I watched a lot of YouTube videos on like how to set up Facebook ads and, you know, all of that. It really was scrappy. So it's been a real journey, and I've sort of learned as I've gone, and then more people have come into the business we got investment and three other co-directors came in 2019. So I've been able to learn a lot from them as well. You know, they've had a lot of experience in business before. So it's been a real like pulling every thread that I could situation. Mm-hmm. But yeah, just trying to keep an open mind and absorb everything like a sponge, basically, was how I did it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's interesting you mentioned this program in Belfast, because I asked this question from many of our guests, but they never mentioned this on the first place, that the government helps or there is some local accelerator community. So that was interesting to hear, and I'm glad to hear that. There are many government programs, I think, in many countries, but many of them are not very useful, or you know, they just give you some loans and you have to give it back with certain conditions. So I heard different stories, but if you really found it helpful, that's great.
It was actually amazing. And I think, that sort of helped me with, everything from like mindset to like practicalities. And it was not really like a funds-based support program. It was really, it's really, they're really centered on like practical help, you know? Mm-hmm. That's been very cool. I definitely was very, very lucky that I set up them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And regarding your team, I saw the picture on the site, and you have a very lean team, right? So not many people, like not dozens of employees and you know, like a huge team, but how many people do you have in total?
Yeah, we're pretty lean. We have a little bit of a hybrid situation. So some of my other co-directors have another business at the animal field as well. And so we utilize all of the production staff that are technically part of that business. So the production, warehousing, fulfillment is all done on site for us. But technically the team that's doing that belongs to that company, but we're obviously very closely aligned. And then all of the office team are ours and in-house. So that's kind of what you see on the website. We're pretty lean. It's mainly marketing and customer service, essentially. And then we sort of, everything else is essentially outsourced. But that's what we're doing. We're really primarily focusing on how we connect to the customer. So we sort of have that in-house, and obviously how we talk to the customer through marketing as well. So yeah, that's that. So in our office team, 1, 2, 3, we have 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a very lean team.
Yeah, it's lean.
My last question would be, and feel free to think about this a bit more.
Yeah.
So what would be your number one advice to your younger self when you just launched your first business?
Don't do it. I think it, in all honesty, if I'd known what it would be like, I don't think I ever would have done that. I think to be honest, my advice to myself would be to get a better handle on like accounting and finance earlier, because I'm there now. But it took me a while, and I just didn't have that skill set. And it was just really overwhelming. So I kind of avoided it as much as I could, you know, I didn't like it. But I think, you know, it's like everything, it's daunting till you do get a handle on it, and then it's not as bad. So, that was definitely the part I didn't like. I probably should have ripped Band-Aid off a bit sooner and dived into that. But I was having too much fun with everything else. So
Yeah, I know that. I also had this a few years ago, and I didn't even know the difference between P&L and cash flow, and many things were mixed up and messed up, and why we don't have the money in the bank account that I thought we should have, and all of that.
Yeah.
You need an expert at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Thank you, Alexandra, for sharing your story today, and your number one advice as well. I think it's good that you that entrepreneurs, they don't know how hard it is or how hard it will be, because it's a certain optimism and yeah. being a bit too naive, but I think that's good. Otherwise, we wouldn't do what we do. So
definitely, definitely.
Yeah. So thanks again, Alexandra, and thanks everyone who listened to the podcast today. I will put the link into the description so you can check out the store and you can order for your dogs or horses these great products. I will also add one more link to the description that's from my company. So we collected our top 100 email templates that we sent out on our clients' behalf. And it's almost a 100-page long guide. You can go to the link and download it for free and use it. Feel free to steal those templates. So thanks again, everyone, and have a great day.
Thanks so much for having me, Daniel. It's been great.